Welcome to the Cool Tools Show. I'm Mark Frauenfelder, Editor-in-Chief of Cool Tools, a website of tool recommendations written by our readers. You can find us at cool-tools.org. I'm joined by my co-host, Kevin Kelly, founder of Cool Tools. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, it's great to be here.
In each episode of the Cool Tools Show, Kevin and I talk to a guest about some of his or her favorite uncommon and uncommonly good tools they think others should know about. Our guest this week is Carla Sinclair. Carla is an author, freelance writer and editor, and co-founder of BoingBoing.net. She's written 5 books, including Girl Genius, which will be released in November. And she also happens to be my partner and wife. How's it going, Carla?
Hi. Fine. How are you guys?
We're doing great. It's so wonderful to hear your voice. We don't get to see each other very much, and I'm looking forward to the things that you're going to share with us.
Oh, good. Thanks.
So, Carla, one of the things that we like to do is study Japanese, and we have a bunch of different ways to do that. And so one of the things you do that I don't is you take an online course. Why don't you tell us about that?
I take a course through Brigham Young University. It's their online independent study. They teach tons of foreign languages. They teach Spanish, Arabic, Chinese, Korean. I mean, just a whole, I don't know, maybe, you know, over 12 languages. And so I've been studying Japanese. I'm on my second year. They're really supposed to be semester classes, but luckily, they give you a year, and I take every day of that year, and then I also pay for a 3-month extension, so it takes me about 15 months. But you can take either university or high school level classes, and if you are in high school, you can get credit for them, and you know, same with the university classes. I don't do it for the credit. It's really great because first of all, it's at your own pace, but you have to check in with teachers, and you have to. You're quizzed on each unit by having to speak to them and answer questions and have prepared stories that you say in Japanese.
And do you actually have to like do a video link up with them so that you like a video conference?
Yeah, it's like a Skype type of thing through their site.
And how often are you? You said every day. Are you is this a daily thing for you?
Oh, I just meant I take up every day that's allowed to pass this course. But sometimes I'm, you know, when I'm not working a lot, because I'm a freelance worker. So when I don't have a lot of work, then I can study a lot and I go through the units pretty quickly. But then I just wrote a book and I had 3.5 months to write it. So during that time, I didn't really study at all. But it's okay because I'm, like I said, it's just a semester's class and they give you a lot of time for it. So now I have 1 more month now to finish up. So, and I'm on my last unit, so I'll be okay.
And after a year of studying Japanese, which is pretty challenging for a person starting with English, how far did you get or how would you rate your abilities after the first year?
I'm in my second year now. I'm about to finish my second semester, which is the equivalent of 1 actual year of the class. And I feel pretty good. Like we've been to Japan after I took the first semester, we went to Japan and I was, you know, able to converse. I could order in restaurants and I can go to a shop and ask how much something is. Although I tend to forget almost everything as soon as I start speaking to someone. So I felt pretty comfortable, but I couldn't have like a conversation with anybody yet. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, nothing more than just asking for things and
sure
telling someone what I like, that kind of thing.
Right. Sort of like a traveler's level basic skills.
Yeah. But BYU, they offer 2 years worth of high school level classes. And then there's also, I think 2 semesters of a university class, which focuses more on reading and culture and the history. So you don't get to go too far, too deep into it with the Japanese courses. I think they offer a lot more with some of the other languages.
Mm-hmm. And when you were, did you do some research before you settled on the BYU? Are there comparable other online courses, or is this one sort of particularly superior in some way?
Well, the reason I chose BYU is because my daughter, our daughter, Jane, who's 16, she wanted to study Japanese for her high school credits, and her school doesn't offer it. So we did a lot of research, and BYU is one of the only universities we could find, or online classes in general, that offers credited high school classes. So that's how we found it.
Did you say they offer like 8 languages or something like that?
Maybe even more. And they offer a lot. Yeah. And so it's great for, you know, for anybody who wants to learn the classes that they offer. And, you know, and like, I'm a little embarrassed sometimes because I probably am one of the only older people who's in there in their high school class. So when I'm talking to the teachers, I feel like they're always surprised when they first see me on the screen. But I like the fact that it's a high school level. I feel like it's really accessible and easy to learn.
Okay. And I think, you know, one of the things that BYU has going for it is that they're really great at languages because they train the Mormon missionaries. And so
they've
got it down. I think they probably know how to teach languages as well, if not better than most other places.
Yeah. And at the end of the course, when you're, you know, when you're about to do your final exam is actually proctored. You have to go somewhere. Like I had to go, maybe about 10 or 15 minutes away, to a place and to have someone proctor the test for me. So.
And was it a written test or also oral as well?
That one was written, and then you have to, there's parts where you have to listen, to a recording of someone speaking in Japanese and, you know, translate it into English.
And is it written, you're learning kanji?
Yeah. So not kanji yet. I'm hoping they teach that to us, in the next semester, but I can write hiragana now. Cause you know, Japanese has hiragana, katakana, and kanji. And those are, you know, hiragana and katakana are it's like their alphabet or syllabary. I think that's what it's called. But so I can write that now because they do have you write a lot and turn it in. You know, you have to, there's always a written exam in each unit.
Okay. And the other thing is how much does it cost?
It's $270 a semester. If you take the university level class, that's a lot more. That's like $790 or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Pretty good.
That's pretty good for a credit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so you have another language learning tool that you use.
Yeah. So, you know, I feel like no matter what you do, because I've taken Japanese classes, you know, in classrooms too, and I always feel like they're always great with certain aspects of learning, but I like combining, you know, different tools to get a more dimensional experience. And so I like Duolingo as kind of a complementary way to learn with Brigham Young. And Duolingo's popular. I think a lot of people already know what it is. But the thing I really like about Duolingo is they kind of set it up so that it has the same feeling as a game. And I'm really competitive. And so it makes it fun. First of all, Duolingo has like 90 different languages. Well, not for English. I think for English speakers, it's around 34 languages. But then, you know, for other people speaking other languages, they can learn English and Spanish and French and all the basic, you know, more popular languages as well. But I guess what I like is that, you know, you can compete against, because I'm so competitive, you can compete against other users. You collect like these things that they call lingots that you can spend for leveling up or for getting a little outfit for your owl, the green owl called Duo. But you know, that kind of thing makes it fun. And I feel like I'm playing more than I'm learning, and yet I'm learning a lot. So, and what I like about Duolingo is they are teaching kanji as well, because the Brigham Young class hasn't taught that yet. So it's more dimensional. It's a great complement.
And the majority of the teaching this on Duolingo, is it how does it work? They're something you're reading and then you have to translate. Is there a spoken component? Are you working with other people? Can you describe a little bit about what the actual class would look like?
Yeah, so instead of a class the way it is with Brigham Young, this is different lessons, and there might be, like, depending on what level you're at, there might be between four to maybe six different lessons within a within a topic. And then once you complete all of those, you complete the circle and you move up to a new level within that topic. So for instance, I might be studying hobbies and, you know, and they'll have to do like four different lessons. And each lesson might have about anywhere between 6 to 17 different questions that you have to answer in order to get through that lesson. So there's all these different kinds of levels in this, but,
Was there any kind of spoken or listening aspect, or was it all just writing and text?
So there's all of that. So some of the questions you'll just have to match. Like they'll just show pictures, like especially in the earlier lessons, you'll just have to match words with pictures. And then, but then within that same lesson, then there will be spoken. In the beginning, it's just a spoken word, and then it turns into longer sentences, and you'll have to translate that. So if they'll speak in Japanese, and you translate it into English, and then there's written English and you have to translate it into Spanish. And a lot of times when you're translating, they have a big word bank at the bottom and you're just moving you're moving the words that you want to choose up into move them into a sentence, to form them into a sentence. So you're choosing words. But then other times you can actually use your keyboard and you type in the sentence yourself. So the more advanced you get, the harder it gets. And then there's also a listening component where you'll hear them speak Japanese and you'll have to translate it in English. And then you also, there's lessons where you have to speak yourself. I'll read the Japanese in Japanese, like in hiragana, and then have to speak it in English. So, I speak it in Japanese, actually. I'll speak it in Japanese.
Does it use like some kind of character, like voice recognition or natural language processing to make sure you said it the right way?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, they're kind of flexible because there's been times when I realize I said it really badly and they'll still let it pass. But then there are times when they haven't let it pass and I'll have to do it again. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay.
Cool. And does that cost anything, Duolingo?
Well, you can do it for free and then you do get ads, and I do it that way. But you can do something called Duolingo Plus. And I'm not sure how much that is because I haven't done it yet, but it's ad free and there's some other perks you get with it. Like I think you can do it offline so that, you know, mm-hmm. if you're on a plane or something, it'd be easier. But it's really cool. Fun. I love it. And then they also teach languages on Duolingo, like High Valyrian from Game of Thrones and Klingon. but the one thing is that I want to learn, because we're going to Thailand this winter, and I really was excited to learn some basic Thai before I went. And for some reason, they don't teach Thai to English speakers. They teach English to Thai speakers, but not the other way around. So that was a disappointment, and I'm hoping that they add that. Yeah.
All right. Well, those are two good ones. So this other one is, we were just in Santa Barbara this weekend, and I saw you had like this little, it looked like a tiny sock in the bathroom. looked like a sock for a doll.
That's funny.
A doll's sock.
Yeah, it kind of does look like that. Or I feel like it's also like a finger puppet, except there's with no face and nothing exciting about it. But so it's called Glove, GLOV. And it's, well, mine is like a little finger puppet. They also have a mitt for the whole hand. But it's pretty amazing. It's a makeup remover, but you don't use any soap. It has nothing on it. It's just the microfibers. And I didn't think it would work when I first got it. I got it in the mail with something called Birchbox. It's a subscription service. And they gave it to me. And so I just tried it. And I had a little, you know, mascara that had rubbed off and it was on my skin. And I used it. So you just wet it. So you put it on your finger. You wet it. You just wipe it across your face. And it takes off the makeup. And it reminds me of that magic eraser, if you guys know what that is, you know?
Oh, yeah,
Mr.
Yeah,
Clean's.
Yeah,
like, right. The first time I ever had a magic eraser and I erased some pen mark on my couch, my vinyl couch, it was so exciting because it really was like magic. Like, I thought, how does this work so well? And that's how this glove is. I just thought, how does this work? There's no soap on it. It's something about the fibers, the microfibers. And it feels like a washcloth. Until you rub it. Once you rub it across your face, there's like this interesting kind of spongy, rubbery texture to it. And I guess that's the magic that's taking off the makeup.
And what's typically involved in taking off makeup? Like, how do you usually do it?
Well, usually, you'll have to like do something like get a washcloth and wet it and put some kind of, you know, makeup soap on the washcloth and get water and wash it all off. And a lot, some people, there's different ways to do it, because you can also buy these kind of little like pads, you know, little wipes, but that's so environmentally not, you know, not productive. And so this thing, you just, you wet it a little bit and then, you know, you take off your makeup. And you can, like I said, you can do it with a mitt. Like, I don't wear a lot of makeup, so this is perfect. It's just like, this for me is like, it's great for like if something just smears a little, or like, you know, it's just good for little touch ups. But you can also do your whole face with one of these mitts, which I think I'm going to order just to try it. Afterwards, you wash it with a little bit of soap and then you let it dry. It comes with a little strap, and you can just, you know, hang it somewhere and let it dry. And it's supposed to last for 3 months. And then you're supposed to buy another one after that. I'm only into, you know, I've had it for about a month. So
the idea is that you could kind of replenish it by cleaning the cloth or the glove itself.
Yeah, you clean it, because otherwise it's, you know, it's going to have makeup on it. So you just clean it with a tiny bit of soap and you wash it off, and then it's good to go for the next day. And like I said, for 3 months.
That sounds super useful.
Yeah, it's cool. And, yeah.
And is Glove the brand name?
Yeah, it's just GLOV, and it's made in Poland. So, you know, you can get it on their website, and I think Amazon carries the mitt, not the little. I love this miniature one, because you can just throw it in your purse. You know, I think it'd be good for the holidays if you want to use it as a stocking stuffer. They're $5, so it's cheap. It's really cheap, actually, for 3 months worth.
Yeah, that's great.
The mitt is, I think it's closer to like $12, or it's in euros, but I think it comes out to about $12 or $13, something like that.
Okay, that's still not bad.
Yeah.
And so the final tool that you have is something that I see you using every day, if not twice a day.
Oh yeah, two or three times a day. Yeah, the Nespresso Arachino Milk Frother. Because I like to make macchiatos, which is an espresso with just the foam. And a little bit of foam on top. And you know, I used to work in a cafe and make espressos. And so I've used the big industrial machines. And then Mark and I, we have the, what is it called? The Rancillo?
Rancillo, yeah, espresso.
Yeah, and so they
Sylvia, have, yeah.
The Sylvia. And yeah. So they, that's, you know, like a miniature industrial machine, and has the traditional type of milk frother. And so I've been doing it for years and years. But this makes better foam than I've ever had. It's just the perfect consistency, and it's so easy. You just pour the milk into this like little canister, put the lid on, and just push a button, and it foams it up.
And what does it, how does it work? What does it do?
It has like this little coil, like that's like a donut shaped coil. And that just spins, and somehow it spins, and you can do it warm or cold. You push one button. There's only one button on this whole thing. And if you push it quickly, it'll warm, it'll make warm foam. And
it'll heat it up. Like it'll heat the cold milk up.
Yeah. It heats it up. And then if you push the button a little bit longer, it makes it cold foam. And so this little coil just spins and somehow makes the best consistency of froth. And so,
and do you put in like whole milk, or do you put in non-fat milk?
I do half and half, because the more fat, the better.
Oh, half and half. Okay.
But right. Actually, like for my daughter, Jane, she likes matcha in the morning, and she likes it with either soy milk or sometimes she does almond milk. So I just pour the milk in there, because we don't use, she doesn't put any, she doesn't make it with water. She makes it with the milk. So I put the milk in there with the matcha and do the cold cycle, and it just blends the whole thing together, and it's kind of foamy and smooth, and she loves it. It's just so easy, and it's really good. I mean, the consistency is perfect.
And it's easy to clean too, because the little coil thing, the spinner, is like spun by a magnet that's inside the base.
Yeah, so it just pops right in, and it's really easy. So I always feel like, it's really easy to clean. It's so perfect.
It feels very solid and everything. It's a good, good tool for sure. Mm-hmm.
And there seems to be a different varieties, different species, variants of the same thing. Is there a particular one that you?
Oh, I didn't know there were different ones. I thought this was the
Arachino plus, Aracino 4, Aracino 3.
Oh, wait, I think Azar's a 3 month.
I'm not sure. We'll put that down in the post. Okay. I think it's like 70 bucks, I think.
What I just love the simplicity of it.
Yeah, it's really good.
All right.
So, Carla, you just finished a book that should be coming out soon. Tell us a little bit about it.
It's part of a series. It's called Girl Genius, and it's a book for young girls ages 9 and up. I think like age 9 to 15. And it's through a company called, a publisher called Downtown Bookworks, and it's distributed by Simon & Schuster. And so it's 40 profiles of women in history and you know, contemporary women and teenagers too, who have done amazing things with STEM-related fields. So women inventors and innovators and doctors and scientists, people who have you know, just done amazing things. And so I profiled a lot of people. I mean, I interviewed a lot of people and came out with some really great, interesting stories about women and probably about 5 teenagers in the book too, who have done amazing things. Like one of them, her name is Keana Cave. She developed a molecule that neutralizes the toxins from the BP oil spill in the ocean. And Chevron took notice of it and funded her, gave her like $1.2 million and she's so smart. And she was only 16 when she developed this. So it's just a really fun, inspirational book, I think.
And you also interviewed Temple Grandin because you profiled her.
Yeah.
And you really, I remember you really enjoyed.
She was one of my favorite. Yeah. She was one of my favorite interviews because she's so delightful. She's funny and she's passionate and right to the point. And she was great.
And a good storyteller too.
Yeah. She's a great storyteller. So, you know, they were all great. I loved all of them. And there's a woman named Sandra Pasco from Mexico. She's turning cactus into plastic. She gets this, you know, this cactus, and she has this way that she started this with students of hers, and then the students got burned out and they stopped, and she ended up doing it with a new batch of students. But they've been able to turn cactus into biodegradable plastic. And so, you know, it's just really fun, interesting things that these women are doing. And it's part of a series from Downtown Bookworks. They also have one called Girl CEO and Girl Activist. And so this is the third one in the series.
I see. And how did you find, you say you did 40 different ones. How did you find the people that you talked to?
Some people, Mark and I already knew about. And then, so, you know, I interviewed some people that we had just already had heard about. And then Downtown Bookworks also had a list. Downtown Bookworks and my editor there and I, we went back and forth with the list, and we were constantly throwing things back and forth, and we really tried to come up with a diverse list of women that are in different fields from different parts of the world. It was fun. It was fun coming up with it.
And some of these are not people who are still living, or
yeah, I think most of them are still living, but there were quite a few historical women, you know, starting with like Ada Lovelace or Marie Curie and, you know, some of the more popular ones.
And one of the other cool things that's just fun is that the person who designed and illustrated the book is Georgia Rucker, who we worked with on Happy Mutant Handbook.
Rudy Rucker's daughter?
In 1996.
Yeah, Rucker's daughter. And she also worked with me years ago when I did Netchick, my book Netchick. So
That's right.
It was really great working with her again too. Mm-hmm. She's still actually designing it right now. It comes out in November, so.
Wonderful. We're looking forward to it. So Girl Genius then.
Yes.
Cool.
And I think the subtitle is something like Bold Breakthroughs from Women in Science.
Mm-hmm. And it's a young adult.
Mm-hmm. Although I think, I think it's fun for any age to read these. You know, I feel like it's written for young people, but it's not dumbed down either. So, you know, I think it's fun for anybody, but it is, you know, geared for young girls.
All right, Carla. Well, thank you. This was really fun hearing.
That was fun.
I know about most of these things, but I'm your take on them.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know about them, but so thank you for taking time to share with me.
Oh, of course. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.